I took photos.
Get him to the borough council.
Is it normally our responsibility for these driveway aprons?
Normally, if we change a grade in the road, we have to chase the driveway grades up to a point just to get them to blend back in, so there's no point.
Did that not happen?
It happened during that last project that they did when they originally did the road. For one reason or another, the driveway is literally disintegrating.
So we're redoing our responsibility.
Yes.
Who was the
contractor? Mm-hmm. I have to go back and look. I want to say it might have been DeFino.
No, it wasn't DeFino.
Who was it that was up there? He did Ocean. Right, he did Ocean.
I forget the guy's name now.
Okay.
There was nothing but problems on the whole job. The whole job was a mess.
That was your sanitary line one day up there. Right.
Remember Osborne Street, Rick, the problems we had up there? Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of problems.
The contractor
did shoddy work.
Especially on your side of the street.
Yeah, it was horrible. And they lowered the elevation so they had to chase it up by driveway. And the work they did is just disintegrating.
You and your neighbor? Are there more people or just you two?
No, just my neighbor.
It's just those two. The two driveways are very close together. Yeah, I don't know that day, but if you go up there, you can see it. I'll forward you the pictures.
No, just okay. Keep them informed of what we're doing and obviously take care of it.
Okay, that's no problem. We'll definitely notify the residents in the vehicle. Here we come.
Okay, take care.
Thank you very much.
Sounds like we did it, so we owe it to you.
Yep.
Larry Thorner?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hey, Larry, how are you?
Hi. Just on the Highland Ave project, so thanks for the update a little bit there. Is anyone being held accountable for those delays, and can we get an idea of when we actually expect plans for paving and safety? You know, we're getting into prime season where people are driving up and down Highland Ave, and if no one's been up there, it's a freeway. It's really fast. You know, no one's slowing down for anything. And I have a couple other concerns that have been outstanding issues. One is the overgrowth and the trees and the draining sidewalks that we have. There are parts of the sidewalks you can't pass now because no one's in.
Because of the growth.
Because of the growth over. I mean, in case in point, it's right by off the hook, and I walked down there and I asked the guys to clean it up, and they just carved out a little bit. I mean, my daughter's this tall,
right.
I can't walk underneath that. But it's not just there. There's other portions where people hang their cars out over the driveway. There's overgrowth going on. Stuff's not getting cut, and that should be addressed. There's the tree thing that we've been talking about that's almost across both lanes of the road now with the growth, and whether you consider that a safety issue or not, it's almost across the whole roadway. We've been talking about that. And then the last thing, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but we got the telephone pole now that's right in the middle of the sidewalk that got poured.
Right.
So they put a new post in, which is right in the middle of the sidewalk. Are they going to move that sidewalk out? Because if we go back and rewind the clock, we're going to talk about safety on Highland Ave.
Correct.
If you're going to put a telephone pole in the middle of that sidewalk where you literally have to walk out into the road to get around it,
doesn't sound safe.
That really doesn't sound like that was a very well thought out safety issue to address safety. So what's happening to make that sidewalk passable?
If I may,
there's a number of things there.
Mr. Hill, do you know the spots he's talking about with the growth? Because that seems like a doable thing without a big deal.
That's a code issue.
I don't care if you send the guys up there.
I was aware of the property owner did say he was going to take care of it. You're telling me he hasn't done so. We'll take a look at that again. The tree, if we're going to remove it, if it's a borough responsibility, we've got to take a look at that. There is a tree overhanging on Highland
Ave. Is it our responsibility?
It's on private property, but it extends over public property. We have to go condemn it, I think. Is that the...
I'm not saying to rip the tree out.
I know what you're saying, but...
The hill together.
Right. The whole hill?
Yeah, probably. But there's significant growth that comes over the roadway. On a heavy storm, there's branches always falling. That whole thing's going to come down.
Can you address the growth tomorrow or the next day? Yeah. Okay. Mr. Thorner, we'll be up there to address the growth issues, you know, the shrubs and whatever else we have to do there. The tree, Mr. Hill's got to look at and see what we can do, where the line is, and what we can, you know, can and can't do. You want to speak to the telephone?
Sure. Let me address the utility issues first. I mean, obviously, it's very difficult when you're dealing with utility companies that are inside your right-of-way. You're kind of held hostage by what they're doing. Again, as Mr. Keaty stated earlier, we gave them our plans ahead of time because we knew the gas company was coming back through with a new main. Unfortunately, even with our plans in front of them, they still put the main where they wanted. It was a direct conflict of what we were doing. Even at the Peak Street intersection, we were relocating that hydrant. They asked to move it to a different location to cut a loop in their system to actually get out of the way further. When they redid their line, they actually put their main right in the middle of where we needed to be. And then again, you know, if you don't have, you know, they give you a markup of one scenario and you go out in the field and you start laying the drainage and you have a 12-inch main blow out, they weren't even aware of the setup that was out there for that 12-inch main with 90-degree angles on it and everything. As far as accountability, I guess you go after anything. It'd probably be more money to litigate that against utility companies than the product's worth. That's when everything's all said and done.
I don't mean sue anybody, Dale. I mean just
fix the problem. That's all I want to do.
Right. Here where we are, and I know that you haven't seen work out in the field, but there's been so much work behind the scenes. Just with them, it got so bad during the one meeting back in April. We met with the water company on site, and they had everything marked out at the Highland Miller intersection by the school. And the guys were out there scratching their heads and actually took black spray paint and started marking, just erasing out their own markouts because they were wrong. You know, we kept this line, that's not here, and this one's out of service. They had no idea where their own lines were. So now if they can't figure where their own lines are, what good is that doing us? So we have been trying to work. We're trying to push them forward. We believe we actually have a scenario now that will work. We had to relocate the drainage line for the third time on Miller. Moved to the other side of the street, trying to stay away from the sanitary line in the middle, the new gas main on the other side of the street. We think we've got a solution now. Contractor went back to his fabricator, and there was an inlet to get fabricated, so that's why the week or two delay. So I'm hoping that he's back in town right after Memorial Day weekend. We can finish this up, get him out of the ground, as the concrete subcontractor falls behind him. Fiore, who's the general, is doing the pavement, can start ripping the road and get going. So I'm hoping to have that road paved towards the end of June is what I'm hoping for. Maybe a little too aggressive weather-wise, or you know, God forbid we hit something else. But I'm shooting for the end of June. You know, trying to get before that 4th of July weekend. It might delay after that, but that's kind of where I'm looking right now.
What about the pole?
The pole itself. Now, in that area, as you're aware, there's not a lot of right-of-way coming off that road, and you're trying to soften that curve a little bit. So the pole was actually. We couldn't kick it on the private property. They had to keep so many feet back because they have a guy wire on it, too. The pole, I believe, is off. It's in the sidewalk, but it's off to one side where it still allows for the minimum passable. It's supposed to be. I'll double-check it.
I have a picture for you.
That's fine. A picture's worth a thousand words for someone's site visit. So what I'll do is I'll go up there myself. I'll take a look at it, see exactly where that is. If it needs to be adjusted or something needs to be redone there, then it'll be taken care of. But that was the intent. We realized it had to be in part of that 4-foot area, but you need to provide at least a 3-foot area to travel through, and that's what should be there. So I'll look into that.
I think you have a foot and a half on either side of that post.
Well, that means the pole's like 3 feet wide, doesn't make any. You know what I mean?
Go look at it.
I will. I'll double check.
Well, the sidewalk's not as wide as it's supposed to be. Something's not right. You know?
Right.
I walk in every day.
I understand. I'll double check that myself. And like I said, there has to be an adjustment made. We'll make it.
Thanks, Mr. Thor. Carol Bucko?
Carol Bucko, 330 Shore Drive. I have two questions. Number one, you have tabled the resolution 12-123 about the retirement, release, and separation of Lieutenant Ranty. Why on earth? What is the justification for making him an honorary captain?
Didn't say we were. That was what was requested, and we denied it.
Tabled
it, I should say.
I know, but so what? What do you want?
Just so you know, Carol, they've done that mostly every guy that's retired as an officer in the past. That doesn't mean we're still doing it, but that was tabled, so.
Well, I just wanted to make you aware when you pass it next time.
We didn't say we were, but go ahead.
Okay. Now, could somebody explain to me the reducing deferral of local school taxes 113 and 114?
It's because we're changing to a.
No, it doesn't say anything about
that. Say about
half year.
It doesn't say anything about that. It says the deferral of taxes in the amount not to exceed 50% of the annual school tax levy when such taxes are raised on a fiscal year basis.
Mr. Pepper's
right, but I don't understand it. Do you understand it? Do any of you understand it? You just voted yes. Do you understand it? Do you understand what it means?
I believe it's related to the fiscal year is what they're talking about. Go ahead. Thank you, Carol. Tara Ryan?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I have two items, both regarding Highland Avenue and Ocean Street. One is the overgrowth. When a person exits Ocean Street going down to Highlands, the overgrowth, it seems it's growing like a foot a day. I've actually trimmed it twice.
Have you really?
But it's, you know, I'm not doing the whole thing. I'm not out there with a machine. I'm out there with clippers. And I would appreciate it if that could be looked at because it's dangerous. But also, almost directly across the street from that intersection of Lighthouse and Ocean Island, there is a home with a garage right there. And in the past, a number of years ago, I believe it's a tenant who parked there, parked in front of the garage. And I know that you went and spoke with these people and it changed for a while. Now the person or a new tenant is doing it again, which effectively, right there, means there isn't even a full line, full aisle to get through.
Full lane.
I don't want this person to get a ticket. I'm not looking for them to get in trouble, but could somebody please talk to them or have the chief talk to them?
I'll pass on to the chief.
It's so dangerous.
No parking? I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
Is that right at the base of the hill?
Right at the base of the hill. There's the fence.
There's red boards there.
Yes. And then right there, there's the garage. Thank you.
We're going to try to. We're going to see if we can make it a no-parking area.
If we can. Even if, you know.
Which wouldn't hurt anyone individual, just couldn't park.
I mean, I know it's such tight parking there, but this is so dangerous. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ryan. Frank McLaughlin?
Yes. I live down on Barbary, and I'm in the area that is sort of a catch basin for the all the water that's coming off the marina off on Washington. And I'm glad to hear that you guys seem to be moving towards some sort of resolution on that, but I want to just be here and make my voice known.
Please.
I've been there since October, and we've probably had a foot of water in my backyard and in the front of the yard, full foot, foot and a half of water on four different occasions. So it's not a one-time event.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Brian Cobb?
An ordinance was passed 2 weeks ago authorizing TNO to begin work planning the steel sheathing bulkhead on at Washington Avenue. My question is there a cost estimate yet?
We did say it that day. I don't remember what's on my head. Do you have it?
$600,000 for the sheathing of the rope combined.
Can we separate that out, the sheathing, just the bulkhead?
I'd have to, I'd be speculating at this point.
Is this for 300 feet down? How long is
this? Whatever that repair area was, 300 feet sticks in my mind. I don't have it with me. But yeah, it's basically for recreation up. I believe it's about 300 feet towards the land side of the second failed area.
Are we talking the same height as on Marine Place? We're talking a steel sheathing bulkhead as there is on Marine Place. Essentially, that's what it is. We don't have specifics.
Yeah, there's no design yet. It's just the money's in place as a what if.
Okay, I understand.
Worst case scenario.
Which gets to my second, that final point, really, which is, I think, ties in with what Mr. Francis has been saying tonight. The cost at, 200 foot or 300 feet of bulkhead, $60,000. I mean, that's what we're talking about. I don't understand how is the steel sheathing is the most expensive possible bulkhead. That's what I'm getting.
The steel sheathing, keep in mind, if we had to do something like that along those lines, we wouldn't be using the deadman system. We'd be driving sheets.
Right.
So the steel sheathing is your most durable. It's going to hold up our rope. So we will be able to use the same system like a vinyl system in that scenario.
Right. Goes in and you knock it and that's it. Which means you're going to cut the tie rods that hold the existing bulkhead in. And what is going to be done when that bulkhead falls in the marina? I don't understand. How is this going to work? That will, you know, is the borough going to also remove the bulkhead, Fred's bulkhead?
Mr. Cobb, that would be something that will be determined down the road. It's too far in advance. I mean, right now, it's a scenario. Basically, the borough is worried about, you know, protecting their road, their infrastructure, their sewer, and getting the road back in shape for the residents. Whatever outlying factors happen with regards to the bulkhead, that'd be something that the table has to discuss further along with the borough attorney. But right now, the goal is to get that road repaired.
So, and Brian, bottom line is it would support the road with no regard at all to the marina or his
right,
property.
Right.
That's the real answer that nobody wants to say.
Whack those tie rods, it will fall in the marina.
Then I could guarantee you the road will be fine, and I can't speak to the private property owner.
Right. Okay. Then is the borough going down the road of you're going to file a lien for those costs against...
We're nowhere near that, Brian. That's a worst-case scenario. We don't want to be in the marina business. We don't want to be in the garbage business. We don't want to be in the, every other thing we got rid of.
It's not that far away, though. We're talking this summer, right?
Well, I disagree. I think we're a lot closer to the amicable resolution than doing that.
Okay.
My opinion. I mean, we had 10 conditions. We got 9 done. I mean, what you're talking about would totally remove the marina use. It would condemn his property, and he would have no income because he would lose his mercantile license. Would you do that for $3,000?
No.
Is your answer. I'm hoping that everybody has the same answer. Claudette, please. Is next?
Just a couple of legal questions that perhaps you could answer for me. On the Washington Street, where anybody can walk, and I see children playing down there all the time, who's legally responsible if someone were to get hurt? Who's liable? Is it the town on the street? Because you could fall on that street. I see kids on bikes down there.
We'd be mentioned in any lawsuit.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors over who's ultimately liable for any injury, but of course the town would be sued.
Liable, doesn't the town?
I didn't say the town would be partially liable.
I know, but I mean, if the town were partially liable, wouldn't there be some kind of fiscal responsibility if it's done?
I don't understand
all the time. Somebody's going to fall in that marina. You know, I'm
thinking about suing their parents.
Performance bonds and all the other stuff, but when a child dies there, there's going to be a health check. And children are down there.
And one other part of the lattice is the parent of that child who wasn't watching what he was doing.
Yes, but children do, I mean...
You know, tell me about children. I got 3 of my own.
I know. I'm just saying, if you don't read the signs...
We want this to happen. I mean, at this point, you know... And should we pay an extra $500,000 because he's dragging his heels? It's a crazy number.
And I'm going to say it again. I said it at the last 6 or 7 meetings. We're in a spot that we are right now because the private property owner was not insured to the full extent of his asset. That's a reality.
But there's another part of that, Mr. Nolan. All right? He did have some insurance.
Yeah, some.
Some, about $100,000, mm-hmm. We hear. He hasn't spent a penny of that.
I agree with you, 100%.
On doing what is a $100,000 job.
I agree.
To some degree, he's so covered for the work that he has to do, it's really kind of unconscionable that he hasn't done the work.
That's right.
Which is why even more so we have to hold him to
it. Like I said before, it's not the fault of this table. That job's not done.
No.
He has done nothing. He has done nothing to move that job forward.
I can assure you, if that thing was done perfect and it was not an incident there and somebody, God forbid, fell in and drowned, we'd be mentioned in the lawsuit anyway.
Yeah.
So clearly we're going to be in the lawsuit no matter what happens.
But that's kind of like a disaster waiting to happen, if you ask me.
I disagree.
And the other question I have is for Tim. You were talking about doing the overnight rentals or whatever.
Short-term.
So that means that people are going to be named to the town so that the town or the police are aware of who's in and out on
the... Named what, the property owner, ma'am?
No, not the property owner.
The person coming and going?
People that are renting.
That's probably one of the things we'll look at.
One of the conditions absolutely in that process, depending on how far it goes, that's absolutely a condition that would be made.
What I'd like to see legally what other towns can and can't do, too. Not that we couldn't have our own ordinance and do things a certain way, but certain things might be able to be challenged. But we do have a landlord registration, so we could piggyback on that for a short-term one and just reference that. So it wouldn't be unprecedented.
Okay.
No, that's definitely, even at the discussion that we had the other night, that was certainly brought up on how we would manage that directly as well. So whatever the definition of short-term becomes, that would adhere to that same type of landlord registration, supplying us with that same information.
Just as we know occupants via the CO process, which is a long-term rental, we're going to know the occupants on any short-term policy that we set up.
Okay. And then my last question is, where are we on 5 Cedar?
Mr. Hill, I know your daughter doing stuff there.
We're working on it.
Still working on it?
We are working on it.
There's been communication back and forth, but nothing we can share with you right now.
Coffee or
Campbell
or whoever?
I don't want to get in a situation I can't share with you right now. Okay. But there has been movement behind the scenes.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Eileen Scanlon?
I have nothing to say.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for coming out. Mr. Mullen? Peter Mullen?
With regard to the captain's stroke, Peter Mullen, let me request.
Thank you, Peter.
I guess I'm very frustrated that this is such a private negotiation and that the people that are going to be most impacted by this, the residents surrounding the marina, really don't know what's going on. The seven of you up there are, or five of you up there, maybe contemplating putting in cheap piling that would dramatically impact the lives of people who live on Washington, and then if that becomes the standard, it would certainly impact the whole marina. So I think that it's unfortunate. I think you're dealing with a very difficult character, but at the same time, the people that surround this thing have to be more involved in some of the decision-making process, because I think it would be a disaster if you people said, if I even said, let's put cheap piling on Washington Avenue.
I would agree with you, Mr. Mullen. It's the last thing I think any of us want to do here. If we get to that point, which I'm going to say for the record, I don't think we're going in that direction. I feel better today than I did, you know, the last time we had a private, not private meeting, but resident meeting here with myself, and I know Mr. Francie was here in attendance. If we get near that again, I promise you, you'll have at least a meeting like that again to let you know what we're doing over and above the council meeting. But I don't really think we're going in that direction right now.
And I just noticed on the agenda earlier this evening there was the Ferries, Sea Street license renewal. And they have a site plan that's been for the planning board for 5 years that they haven't acted on. And I don't really know whether there's any intent of putting their feet to the fire and trying to make them, you know, a real parking lot out of that instead of a sand lot for the most of it.
There's been conversations more so for what they want to do over and above the ferry license and the liquor license for the ferry. And those are ongoing. I've had two meetings with them, and I know there's been discussions with them and Mr. Hill also for an overall plan down there. And part of that has to do with the zoning that's happening too.
Right. Well, in particular, they did have an approved site plan, and it changed hands. They came into the planning board and said, well, give us some time. You know, we need to know this existed.
Right.
And they may want to change the configuration, but I still don't think that they should operate that ferry in perpetuity with no improvements at the site at all. Very poor lighting, people fall at night.
They've only made minor improvements, I would agree with you. Anything else, Mr. Mullen?
Yes. And this was basically, I guess, addressed to the attorney. This evening, when you made a decision on the two ordinances that came before the planning board, I wondered at what point does the council have to set forth in a resolution the reasons why they would adopt an ordinance that wasn't consistent with the master plan?
That's going to be at the next meeting.
Okay. June 20th meeting, sir.
The hearing on the ordinance is June 20th. We'll probably do a resolution at June 6th.
Whatever the meeting, the 6th. Okay. No problem, sir. Thank you. Antonio Marcillo.
Yes, thank you. I live on 23 Prospect Street. And my first question is in regards to the paving of Prospect Street. I was wondering if possibly the borough engineers could kind of work in terms of a timeline. Do you know when Prospect is due to get paved?
Contractor stated that he intends to complete the entire project, and there's four streets up in that area, Valley, Bayview, Prospect, and Woodman, in about a 30-day time period. So he's looking to be done with the entire job, say the end of June for all intents and purposes, depending on weather, so on and so forth.
In regard to that timeline, my neighbor, who's at, I believe, 21 Prospect, is due to undertake a huge project where...
The companions, right?
Right.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, because it would make no sense for them to repave the street, and then, you know, that job is going to... There's going to be so many machines on...
Heavy equipment and all that. Right.
Equipment, yeah. And I spoke to them about it, and they said they were going to look into it as well.
Okay.
To undertake that, possibly on a timeline so that... companions could get their job done, and then we could do the street repairing, because that's just going to...
Or at least past the point of the heavy equipment and everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. Well,
got to work that
right.
out.
Well, the problem is, and I'll try to coordinate as much as I can between the companions and the contractor, but The problem is the contractor's got a contract right now with a time frame. And if he has to pull out the job and has to come back, that'll be a remobilization cost. And then you're looking at, especially in today's economy, the state put in the fuel prices escalation and asphalt index. So you could essentially be paying more in pavement and more in fuel costs, too.
And raw materials.
And raw materials, and also paying him to remobilize. That might be a $4,000 or $6,000 hit. So,
which would still be cheaper than doing the road choice. True, or having to beat up right after we
did it. But if we did the road and there was any kind of damage done by the companions, you know, unfortunately on their part, they'd be responsible for repairing that roadway.
Let's do everything we can.
Exactly. I've got the same thing at 118 Valley too. I know that family's putting up. I spoke to Mr. McGavin the other day about that, just advising him, and he's unsure when he's going to complete his project. But you know, obviously, I don't want to interfere with deliveries if I can work around and stuff like that. But as far as actual time frames for construction, my hands are kind of tied right now.
I totally understand.
We'll do everything we can to coordinate it, obviously.
I greatly appreciate that because clearly no one wants those roads paved more than
the people that live there, exactly.
It's been so long, but it's just, I just worry that what's going to happen once they do that job. Mm. And the second thing is, I would respectfully request if someone could come up where Prospect goes into Osborne, there is a whole bunch of old growth that kind of cuts into that roadway. And it's so narrow as it is, and it's a two-way.
Okay.
From Osborne coming up to Prospect and Prospect going down to utilizing Osborne to get to Valley. Sometimes the cars are almost going head-to-head with each other to sidestep the growth. And usually the town is very, very good. They're usually very diligent. Right around this time, someone usually comes.
Has to happen now, right?
Yeah. And it trims it. So
now's the time.
Just to bring that up. Thank you very much. You should
let me know. Okay. Folks, we have a Memorial Day Parade, 5/26, which was May 26th at 1 o'clock. The Borough Council and some representatives from veterans groups will be laying the wreaths, starting at Huddy Park the same day at 9:30. With that, I'll offer to adjourn.
Offer by Mayor Moore. Second by Ms. Kane. All in favor?
Aye.
Nay. Meeting adjourned.
Lori had her hand up.
Sorry, Lori knows the drill.